Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, and there's 26 verses in this chapter. And there will be some commentary, and we want to ask the Lord now to anoint this service, anoint it into our souls. There's always a lesson in the Word of God. In every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, there's lessons that show us the true personality, the true God, that he's not just a God of love by no means. There's more threats in the Bible from God. And some people say, well, I just can't see a God that is a God of judgment. Well, then you're worshiping Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. Because God is not one of those. God is God. He's a rugged God. He's the God that created the heavens and the earth and the entire universe. And you have to be very tough to do that and hold everything up by your spirit. His spirit, his will, his force is powerful. And it's, you can't estimate it. It's beyond the thinking power, far beyond the thinking power of all the human minds on the face of this earth. But this is when the Bible says that he does all these things and he can do everything. You're supposed to believe that if you want to be saved. And he can even save our little souls. But they're not little to him. He thought so much of us that he sent his only begotten Son and himself into the world in the body of Jesus, a human being, and thought so much of us, those of us who accept him, that he offered himself on the cross, on the altar, to give us a second chance. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but then he wants us to be forgiven of our sins because we can't get into heaven if there's sin on our soul. So he wants us to flush all those sins in the sea of his forgetfulness by the blood that he shed on the cross. There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of his blood. And therefore, get washed in the blood of Jesus and make sure that you memorialize that in your mind and in your heart and soul and spirit and be thankful for it. Because without Christ having done this great and mighty deed, without God in Christ coming into this world, there's no way that we could be saved from a burning eternal hell. And also the human mind cannot comprehend the horrifying thing it is to be engulfed in hell and in the lake of fire and to be screaming and pleading and begging and knowing that there's no way out and there's no chance for it to ever end. And, say you're using scare tactics. No, I'm saying what the Word of God says. And if it scares you, it's good to have the fear of God. Because he isn't the tooth fairy. He isn't any kind of a fairy. I preach God, not some fictitious thing that you may have, or somebody has preached to you, and instill that in your mind. You have to read the Word of God, and see if the things that I'm telling you are the same as what is in the Bible. Now, we're reading the Bible here. We're going through the Bible with you. And these are the words of God, through holy prophets that were inspired by the Spirit. And there's no private interpretation of it, and you're not allowed by God to interpret it for yourself. So, we're talking about altars here. Memorials of that God took people out of the world and put them into their own land. They were in a world that they had no home in it whatsoever, and the Lord gave them a home. And those that are really called and chosen of the Lord before the foundation of the world never really had a home in this world. If you're really of the Lord, you know that you never really fitted anywhere. You never was accepted like the others. And that's because God has called you from before the foundation of the world to be his peculiar people, his only highly chosen people. We're different than those that are going to hell in the lake of fire. So the more of the Word of God that we absorb into our spirits, the more of God's life we have in us. And this is how we have eternal life, is to read the Word so we can know the Father and to know Him whom God has sent into the world, His Son, Christ Jesus. And the Bible plainly states that God is the Word, and the Word was God was with the Word, and the Word is God. It was God, and the Word came into the world in the flesh of a human being and dwelt among us. And so therefore, we know God. We have eternal life by knowing God, to know what we can do and what we can't do. And when we know what we can do, we know the personality of the Lord. We can't get by with sin. It's impossible. He won't. He's no respecter of persons. He's not letting any sinful, unrepentant person into the kingdom of God. And after you're saved, He says, now go and sin no more. So praise the Lord. It's good to know these things in advance, because just as sure as you've been born, that's just exactly how sure it's going to be that you're going to be standing before the judgment bar of God or the mercy seat of Christ one of these moments. And it could be today, tomorrow, you don't know. And when you stand there, it's all over. You're not going to come back. There's no such thing as reincarnation. People have demon spirits that have entered into them, and they think that they've lived before. No, those demon spirits just lived in other people that have died and gone on to be in hell. And maybe that demon has entered into you. And under sodium pentothal, you might start talking in Chinese and say, see, that's my spirit. I've lived before. No, it's a demon spirit that's in you that's saying those things that have lived in other people before. Lord, cast the demons out of the people in this world today. They're filled with them, and some people are jokingly saying, and they're sincere about it, say, well, I have demons. I have to get along with my demon. If you take on the attitude of the people of the world that are going to hell, you're going to go there with them, and there's no friendship in hell. There's no buddies there, and there's no buddies in the flaming sea of fire. When you're there, you're too busy yelling your head off and screaming for a relief, and you know there's no relief there, that you're not thinking about anybody but your own self. So learn the Lord from His Word. Learn and pay strict, very close attention to what He says, because it's to have His life in you, and He's the only one that is able to, by His Spirit living in you, give you eternal life. There's no eternal life anywhere else. You're going to go on eternally in heaven or in hell, and that is no life. You're alive there, and you're feeling very, you know, everything. But that's not life, that's death. It's a death that lasts forever. So, Father, we ask that You bless this chapter 27, into our hearts and souls, and that we meditate on it, and that You give us the power through these words to make it another day in this world, this wicked world. We're like sheep among wolves, little lambs among wolves. And, Lord, we have to walk in Your Spirit, because we never know when one of the wolves we're going to be confronted with, it, and we have to know what to say and know what to do and know when to exit and know when to stay there and resist. Let us walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And when by walking in the Spirit, we're walking in wisdom, and we know just what to do at all times. Lord God, let everyone that hears this tape, let them pay special attention to it, because they may have read these scriptures before, but this time You're anointing it, Lord, with Your Spirit and the commentary as well. We ask it in Jesus' name to give us the strength through it to walk another day in you one day at a time. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 27, the altar on Mount Ebal. King James Version, verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you this day.
And why? Because if you break one, you've broken them all, and you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what else?
Verse 2. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster.
All right, then what? Just a memorial, an altar. Then what else?
Verse 3. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey.
With everything. Then what?
As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Verse 4. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. Verse 5. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Verse 6. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Verse 7. And thou shalt offer peace offerings. And
the Lord didn't want it to look slick. You see, a lot of different Christians trying to look slick in these last days. But the Lord wanted to be just stones, rugged stones, just the way he made them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. God isn't, he's very clever. He's all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, beyond clever. And he loves to do things his way. And so we just do what he says. Don't try to act slick. He is not a slickster or a huckster. So just do what he says. Then what?
Verse 7. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Verse 8. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Verse 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Verse 10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day.
And what for? Because he wants you to be a... because people, when they're in a fallen state, when they're unsaved, they're lost and they're in darkness. But when the Lord saves your soul, then he's pulling you up to his standard, the original way that he created man, in his likeness and image. And he wants to live in us, and he wants to work in and through us. And so the only way that he can do that is in a vessel that is obedient to him. It's just as though you get in a car, you want the car to steer to the left when you want to go to the left. You want it to steer to the right when you go to the right. If you get in a car and you're going down the street, and you're steering left and the thing just turns to the right and crashes into the store window or someplace, you can't use a vessel like that. Well, that's the way it is with God. You're a vessel and he wants to drive you by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And he can't do that if you just don't listen to everything he says. When you want to make just a rock in the road, you want to turn the car just a little bit, and the car responds just a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
And then if you see an ox in the road or a car coming at you, you want to turn it sharply and maybe drive off the shoulder or something to get away from it. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you. He wants you to be paying attention to every detail, every commandment, for your own benefit, your own good, and the good of your family and friends and everyone that you'll meet or come in contact with in your life. He wants you to be He wants to represent himself in you and through you. That's what he wants. That's knowing the Lord, man. You know, that's really knowing the Lord. It's when you know that. And it's even knowing him better when you do that. When you know it and don't do it, you're going to have a sad ending. Then what?
Verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, verse 12, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. Verse 13, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Verse 14, and the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
Amen.
Translation, verse 1 through 15. The altar on Mount Ebal. Then Moses and the leaders of Israel charged the people as follows, quote, keep all these commandments that I am giving you today. Verse 2, when you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Verse 3, then write all the terms of the law on them. I repeat, you will soon cross the river to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Verse 4, when you cross the Jordan, set up these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster, as I am commanding you today. Verse 5, then build an altar there to the Lord your God, using natural stones. Verse 6, do not shape the stones with an iron tool. On the altar you must offer burnt offerings to the Lord your God. Verse 7, sacrifice peace offerings on it also, and feast there with great joy before the Lord your God. Verse 8,
and why great joy? Because he's pulling you out of the world into your own country. It's your own turf, and they never had that before. And why should we rejoice that we have the kingdom of heaven? Because he's pulling us out of this rotten world that the Lord himself is cursing now. Right now, New Orleans is afraid of God. They don't know it's God. They think it's Mother Nature. But God boasts about being the one that's doing all these things, and they just don't want to receive even that from him. They're afraid that the New Orleans, it's below sea level, and they're afraid that it's going to go under about 8 to 16 feet under with water. And they're evacuating like crazy. It's like caravans of people all the way from there to Houston. And they've run out of hotels, and people are even coming over here asking for shelter. There's no hotels in this town that have rooms either. They're asking shelter from us, and we're taking care of that. And, of course, there are friends, some of the friends of ours, and Ronald Jones and his family. And we just praise and thank the Lord that the Lord has given us a place to take them in. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. We're planning on building a 60-unit motel over here on a piece of property with because we have so many guests that are wanting to be on our television program, and which will be on the Internet. And then also I'm really praying and trusting the Lord to give us a network so that we can be all over the world also on television. Right now, I'm told that we should be taping television and recording records and everything this coming Friday, which is, this is now Wednesday. It's like day after tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's
Amen.
Exciting. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is on the move. And so this is the Lord that is terrorizing people now. And he just is sending one hurricane after another into Florida and those southern states that have rejected God. They say, we believe in God. No, if you believe in God, believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe those that he has sent. in my father's, where my father dwells is in many rooms, Jesus said. That he says, he's just saying, God doesn't only dwell in me, but I'm telling you that God will also dwell in you. If it were not true, I would have told you. Amen?
Amen.
So praise the Lord. I mean, you say you must have God living in you in order for you to abide with him forever in the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell. That's quite simple to me. You know, I've said it 100 different ways, or maybe more than 100 ways, and over hundreds and hundreds of days. And I just hope that your hearing it will make it pay. You see, we have a little rhyme there. Amen. Okay, then what?
On the stones coated with plaster, you must clearly write all the terms of this law. Unquote. Verse 9. Then Moses and the Levitical priests addressed all Israel as follows. Quote, O Israel, be quiet and listen! Exclamation mark. Today you have become the people of the Lord your God.
That's so good, you know. Be quiet and listen. You know, the people are jabbering and doing rap music and all kinds of nonsense, hopping around, hopping, and, you know, twisting and yelling and talking about politics and everything. You people, the Lord says, shut up and listen. Okay, this is for your soul. I'm talking about your presidents, kings, queens, everybody. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Put your ridiculous political papers down and listen to the Lord. He's the one that you're going to have to face. And he's the one that if you don't get right with him now, he's going to shoot you away down into the pit of the earth. All right, then what?
Verse 10. So obey the Lord your God by keeping all these commandments and laws that I am giving you today. Unquote. Curses from Mount Ebal. Verse 11. That same day Moses gave this charge to the people. Verse 12. When you cross the Jordan River, the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin must stand on Mount Gerizim to proclaim the blessing over the people. Verse 13. And the tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali must stand on Mount Ebal to proclaim a curse.
Okay, so in other words, half of them are going to proclaim the blessings, and the other half are going to preach to the whole congregation the curses. Here's what you do. You'll get the blessings if you do what the Lord says. Then the others say, okay, here's what you're going to get if you don't do what the Lord says. So that shows that he's love and he's wrath, that he's the God of judgment. He's going to judge whether you've been good or whether you've been evil or bad. Okay? And then we'll go from there. And he tells you what's going to happen to you if you do good and if you don't do good. All right, then what?
Verse 14. Then the Levites must shout to all the people of Israel. Verse 15. Cursed is anyone who casts idols and secretly sets them up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord. Unquote. And all the people will reply, Amen. King James Version, verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen.
Okay. Translation.
Translation, verse 16. Quote, cursed is anyone who despises father or mother, unquote, and all the people will reply, Amen.
How do you despise your mother and father, you wretched animal, you? And you're cursed if you do it. So why do it? Why do you want to be cursed? Then what?
King James Version, verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Translation, verse 17. Quote, cursed is anyone who steals property from a neighbor by moving a boundary marker, unquote, and all the people will reply, Amen.
Right, be satisfied with what you have, and don't steal so that the Lord can bless you. Don't covet somebody else's property, and don't cheat people. Then what?
King James Version, verse 18. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen.
You know, priests and people that are spiritually blind and you tell them false doctrine, you're cursed. Why do you do that? You just want to be some kind of a big shot at people's expense. Okay, do the translation.
Verse 18, quote, cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road, unquote. And all the people will reply, amen.
Yeah, so, you know, blind, a person that is not saved, they're blind. We have to be lights, and we have to let the Lord be a light in us so that they can see the way down the road, amen, into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Right, and then also, of course, you know, it's evil to do that with the person that's physically blind. But it's more evil if the person is spiritually blind and you to lead them into hell. Then what else with your false doctrine? Go ahead.
Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 19, quote, cursed is anyone who is unjust to foreigners, orphans, and widows, unquote, and all the people will reply, amen.
That goes without saying. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 20, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 20. Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his father's wife, for he has violated his father. And all the people will reply, amen. King James Version, verse 21. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 21. Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with an animal, and all the people will reply, amen.
And believe it or not, there's people that do that. They've done it way back there in Bible times, and everybody thinks that they're really doing something new. Is it new? You know, you just study the Word of God, you'll see that nothing is new under the sun. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 22. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen.
So you're cursed. There's a lot of people in this world that have had sexual intercourse with their brothers and sisters, and it's incest, and their close relatives. And you have to repent of that and stop doing it, or you're cursed. You're cursed right now. Repent, so the curse will come off you, and don't do it anymore. Keep all the commandments. Then what?
Translation, verse 22, cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his sister, whether she is the daughter of his father or his mother, and all the people will reply, amen. King James Version, verse 23, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 23, cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his mother-in-law, and all the people will reply, amen. King James Version, verse 24. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 24. Cursed is anyone who murders another person in secret, and all the people will reply, amen. King James Version, verse 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 25. Cursed is anyone who accepts payment to murder an innocent person, and all the people will reply, amen. King James Version, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Translation, verse 26. Cursed is anyone who does not affirm the terms of this law by obeying them, and all the people will reply, amen.
And the people today say, well, that's over with the law. You can still kill people in secret. You can still murder people. You can murder babies. You are a devil out of hell. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, now that was chapter 27, verse 26, the last verse in the chapter. Now we've got some commentary.
27, verse 1 through 10. This joint address by Moses with the elders is unusual, since Moses normally addressed the people by himself. However, since Moses would not be crossing over the Jordan, the address seems designed to impress upon the elders their future responsibilities as leaders. The specific responsibility addressed is that of the renewal of the covenant on Mount Ebal in the Promised Land. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 through 35 describes the renewal. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 through 35. Quote, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal." Verse 31, "As Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them." Unquote. 27 verse 4. Mount Ebal was a significant location for the renewal of the covenant. Located about 30 miles north of Jerusalem, it was where Abraham had built an altar and was associated with God's promise of the land since the days of the patriarchs. 27 verse 9. "This day you have become the people of the Lord." This ceremony would remind Israel of her special status with God. 27 verse 11 through 26. This accompanying ceremony would serve to reinforce the two alternatives that would be available to Israel in her new land. You can see the note on that in chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. 27 verse 14. The Levites here are those with the specific duty of attending to the ark. They are not the whole tribe of Levi who had already taken their place on Mount Gerizim to represent the blessing. Verse 12. 27 verse 26. Paul quotes this verse in Galatians 3 verse 10 as part of his argument that Christ has removed the curse of the law, and that is after we're saved, and if we continue on walking in the Spirit to keep the law, that we must not rely upon our own obedience, is what a lot of people think, but we must be obedient and do the works of the Father. Let the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work inside of us and through us. But we cannot rely on our own obedience or works because we must come to the Lord. That's one step. And we must rely on the power of God to regenerate us through the Spirit so that He in us and through us can do the work of God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10, quote, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Unquote.
Right, and that still is the case. So the Lord takes all the sins that you've done and drowns them in the sea of His forgiveness. So the law is no longer applied to you because now they're all washed away. But He says, go and sin no more. Because if you do, the worst thing's going to happen to you. And that means you would not be able to be forgiven anymore if you lived a life of sin again. All right, so we're not under the law so long as we don't sin. Sinners or, you know, criminals, we could be we could be a straight person all of our life, not ever committing a crime. I've heard of people that worked in banks all their life and were trusted even with the keys to the vault, and then all of a sudden an evil spirit hits them And they were not under the law because they were honest citizens. But then when they did a criminal act, then the law comes in, the police officers, and they can arrest them, and they're under the law now. So if you got all your sins forgiven, and you're not under the law anymore because you're not a criminal, you're saved. But then you start committing sin again, and you're under the law again. So the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, hey, you people are all saved now. You're not under the law. You've been free. You're not condemned, in other words. So then does that mean that we can sin? God forbid. Because if we do sin, we're going to be back under the law again. All right, then what?
Chapter 27, verse 7. Joy is an important characteristic of a healthy and godly life. It is often looked upon as something nice to have, but not absolutely necessary. This is not the Bible's rule on that. God's word calls us to live a joy-filled life. See also chapter 12, verse 12, chapter 28, verse 47 through 48.
See, like if you are aware that you're saved all the time, you can't help from being joyful. But if you forget that you're saved, if you forget the vision that you have a heaven, the eternal life, well, then you won't have any joy. You'll always be pouting. You'll always be sad about one or angry about one thing or another. So without a vision, the people perish, the Lord says. So we have to keep the vision of what we have. We have to possess that vision. We have to possess it. We have to think about it all the time. We can't let it slip our minds that we have the reward, that we haven't apprehended it yet, but we do have it, and we do have the power within us to keep it. So rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be sad. Don't be upset. Now, I get uptight at the devil, but I certainly don't get uptight with the Lord and the fact that I've got immortality, eternal life. And then if the breath goes out of my body, I'm in heaven. I'm not uptight about that. I'm not going to mourn and pout, okay, no matter what they do to me. All right, what else?
Okay, chapter 12, verse 12, quote, "And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your menservants and your maidservants."
Why? I mean, a lot of people just start saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They don't even know what they're saying it for. Rejoice that you have heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That you have God fighting for you and that you've got it made in this world more than any person on the face of this earth. You know? That's something to rejoice about. If you didn't have it, then you'd really have something to be sad about. Then what else?
"And the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you." Chapter 28, verse 47 through 48. Quote, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until..."
Well, yeah, if you're not thankful, then God's going to turn you over to your enemies. Let's see, you don't thankful for being with the Lord? Okay, here. Let's see if you're thankful with your enemies, you creep. Amen?
Amen.
Kind of a creep, are you? You know, God gives you everything and he gives you his life. What else do you want? Huh? Cookies and cake and candy at the same time? You got victory over death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, the world, your flesh, everything. You've got the kingdom of heaven and eternity there. And you're uptight? Do you want? The Lord says he'll turn you over to your enemies. Put a yoke of iron on your neck and make you hungry. And you deserve it too. God is a just God. He wouldn't do that to you if he didn't deserve it. Then what?
and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee, unquote.
And he'll destroy you. And send your soul to hell in the lake of fire. Then he give you something to pout about. I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to say, you know, when I was just crying, she'd say, shut up or I'll give you something to cry about. Right?
Right.
And that's the way the Lord is. He says, you murmur and complaining and everything, I'll give you something to cry about, to be uptight about, to be sad about, to pout about. Okay? Either shout about it. If you don't, you're going to pout about it and you're going to be sorry. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's going to destroy you. Okay, what else?
As we approach God and worship, it is possible to have joy even when experiencing the pain of getting mature.
Yeah, because you've got it made. Then what else?
Chapter 27, verse 15 through 26. Sin never goes unpunished, Old or New Testament.
No, that shows that God is conditional. He doesn't love you unconditionally. He doesn't love you if you sin, especially after you've been saved.
God considers disobedience so grave that he even spells out its consequences. Those who disobey God's commandments will be cursed by God.
You notice the Bible doesn't say maybe will be cursed by God. It says will be. Okay?
Yeah.
You got nothing to cry about if you're saved. So praise the Lord and be joyful, or he'll give you something to cry about. Amen?
Amen.
Worship him now or and bow down before him, or else he's going to come back and make you do it with a rod of iron in his hand. And then it'll be too late. Okay, then what?
Even negative passages like this remind us that God wants only our best. He wants us to obey because disobedience can only bring us eternal suffering and pain. This should encourage us to follow God's Spirit for a spirit-filled life here on this earth and eternal life in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, and it's so abundant, the life here that he gives you. I mean, if you're really doing everything he says, and if you're coming short of it and you can't figure out why am I not being blessed, it's because you're not, there's something that you're not doing. I thought I was really serving the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and yet I knew deep down that I wasn't. And I didn't know what I had to do. And then the Lord says, you read these tapes, you read the Bible to the people. And ever since that happened, I've been so blessed, I can't even figure out what to do with all the blessings I've got. You know? I'm sure that I'll figure it out. But it's just coming in like a hand over fist. Amen?
Amen.
And so, guys, you know, I thought, now I look back and say, wow, I should have been doing this all these years. And then I'd really be blessed for many, many other years. So you read with your baby Christians and preach to the people. And this will please the Lord very much, because the whole duty of man is to fear God, keep his commandments. His commandments is that we bear fruit, and a lot of fruit. You can see that in the 15th chapter of the book of John. He says that if we, he's the vine and we're the branches, and if the branches don't bear good fruit, and a lot of it, he'll come and take it, tear you right out of the vine. And a branch cannot abide outside of the tree or the vine. You take a sprig of grapes off of a vine and throw it away, or a branch, and it's going to shrivel up and die within the next day or two. And that's what happens to Christians. If you're not concerned about if it's not vividly in your mind that what you're called to do, well, then God's going to dispose of you. That's all there is to it. So think about these things. Meditate them. That's what we're supposed to do. Meditate about them. That means think about them. And put your life, get it into focus on the Lord. There's some people say focus on the family. I say focus on the Lord. You know? Focus on the Lord. Will focus on the family. Focus on the Lord, and your family will focus on you. Amen?
Amen.
And then they'll say, well, we're going to serve the Lord just like our dad or our mother does, or our brother or our sister. Amen?
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. We'll be doing chapter 28, Lord willing, this evening. And I know if you're doing the things what the Lord says, to think about Him day and night, you're going to be walking one day at a time in the Spirit with Him, and you're going to rejoice and be very, very blessed in this world. So until chapter 28, praise the Lord. Amen.